The Gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 37 to 54. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done, without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you! For you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." And he said, "Woe to you, lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers. For they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers! But you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering.' As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say." This is the word of the Lord.
The topic that we have is the danger of outward religion. Have you heard about fake doctors, fake architects, fake engineers? Have you seen them? The true nature of them is hidden, and they project themselves as somebody true, but they are not true. Jesus confronts such people. Hypocrites, they hide something, but they present themselves as something else. People may appear holy, generous, or faithful. Their hearts are far from God. Fakeness and empty rituals can fool others for a time, but God sees the truth. We read three passages, one from Amos, another from 1 Timothy, and then the third from Luke Gospel. And I thought we will focus on Luke Gospel, and we will make a short mention of those other two passages. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus is confronting both Pharisees and scribes. Scribes means the experts of the law, experts of the scripture, the teachers of the law. So he confronts both Pharisees and the scribes, and he says six woes, three woes against the Pharisees and three woes against the scribes. But I thought I would put all six together and come up with the four. For our study this morning. Number one is about our heart. Number two is about our giving. Number three is about how we present ourselves to the world, pride. And number four is how we teach others. So I put all these six into four. Number one, pay attention to the inside more than the outside. Jesus was invited to this group for dinner. He went inside and he sat at the table without doing the ceremonial wash. His hands are clean, but according to their culture or custom, they had to wash their hands certain way before they eat. And the Pharisee was amazed looking at this, that Jesus did not wash his hand. Jesus probably did it purposefully. And as soon as he sat there, he knew what was going on in their minds, and he said this: "Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also?" God, who sees outside, he sees inside. What is there in your heart? You clean the vessels from outside, but inside it is clean. And he says, attention, give attention to the inside more than the outside. He is the Lord who created what is seen. We are able to see what is unseen: anger, jealousy, hatred, impatience. And also he sees in us the love, the patience, the care, all that he sees. So how are you keeping your heart? That's the question. Are we not fake ourselves? I remember my aunt, she attended a church where gold was forbidden. No jewelry, no necklace, no rings, no bangles, none of them they should wear. But she had a watch, and that watch had a golden strap. You know, we want to follow, but we will follow it in our own way. We do not take the essence of it. How is your heart? That's the question that we need to answer. Someone said, your heart is like a garden. If you neglect it, weeds start growing, bitterness, anger, jealousy, and pride take root. They choke out the good things God has given you because you are his follower. Therefore, nurture in you, grow in you, love, joy, compassion, and faith. If you plant carefully and tend it, your garden flourishes. Watch your heart. Now, someone very beautifully said, which I want to read: when God measures a person, he puts a tape around the heart, not the head or the body. We cannot go and show him our muscles and our beautiful face. He measures our heart. How is our heart this morning? Is it filled with jealousy, anger, pride? Or is it filled with joy, peace, love? If our heart is not filled with the right thing, the Lord sees inside. Shall we pray this prayer? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. He is against hypocrites. Now, the second point that I want to bring is giving. Prioritize the justice and love of God. These Pharisees were taking care of giving tithes on small things. Like, you know, you buy small seeds from the market, small amount. And in that small amount, you want to be faithful in giving one-tenth. They were talking about giving tithe for the herbs. That means you buy a bunch of mint leaves and you bring home. So you take 10 leaves, one leaf to the Lord and 10 leaves to yourself. They were majoring on minors and neglecting the majors. That Jesus confronted. The first lesson that was read to us from Amos, the Israelites were consumed with feasting, indulging, and enjoying their wealth. All the while, they were ignoring the suffering of others around them. Their celebrations did not reflect the justice and love of God. Number one, how did they get this income? They were wealthy. How did they get it? They got it through unfair means. They were coming very heavily on the poor people and they were making money. Sabbath day is a day of rest, but they would wait for everything be over in the synagogue. Immediately they opened the markets. For everything and anything, they were making money. Unfair means. That's injustice. And they were accumulating wealth over wealth over wealth. They were not at all taking care of the poor and the needy around them. They were neglected the poor and the needy, but they continued to pursue the wealth. Last Sunday, we discussed about wealth. The more you desire wealth, the more we go behind it. Someone said, wealth is like the sea water. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. That's how it is. You know, are we taking wealth in a right way? The Pharisees were dangerous people. They were not even taking care of their parents. They had a system within themselves that you had to give a designated offertory called korban. And if you give that, your parents' duty is taken away from you. Whether they have enough money to live or not, that is not your worry because you have given korban, the offertory that is designated. They were hypocrites. They were simply washing their hands away from the responsibility. You know, when we come and give, God certainly looks at what you give, but God also looks at what you keep. Do we remember this incident where Jesus praised a woman who gave two coins? She came and she put two coins, and Jesus said she has given everything that she had because he knows what she holds. How about us? Are we, you know, God is certainly interested in what you give, but he sees what we don't give. Giving is like well water. The more you draw, the more fresh streams flow. So keep giving, and I'm sure the new streams of water flow. And these people were finding ways and means to not to give. Prioritize the justice and love of God in your giving. Thirdly, these people were dressing themselves in clean clothes, impressive clothes, and presented themselves as important individuals. They expected others to recognize them, greet them, and show them honor. For them, religion had become a means of self-glory rather than serving God. They wanted to appear religious and pious before people rather than humble before the Lord. Jesus calls them hypocrites. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you love the place of honor at feast and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace." He exposed a common trap, the desire for recognition and admiration instead of genuine devotion. Being humble before the Lord, being humble before people is taken away. And they thought themselves very high. They thought themselves that they are the right people to live on this earth. They are well-recognized people in the presence of God, and there was absolutely no humility in them. Prayer, practice humility, not self-praise. C.S. Lewis very beautifully said this: humility is self-forgetfulness. Another perspective explaining this way: humility is not depreciating ourselves, but appreciating God. Humility is not denying the power you have, it realizing that the power comes through you, not from you. We all have got some kind of power as a father, as a mother, as an employee, as a citizen. All that is through us, not from us. Who has given us? Our Lord Jesus. He is the one who has saved us and made us his children. And all authority and power comes through him, comes from him, but through us, not from us. Then we come to the final point. It is on the scribes. Point people to know God more than follow man-made rules. Man-made rules. Now, these people were coming up with many, many rules, the scribes, because they came to Jesus saying that you were criticizing Pharisees. That means indirectly you are criticizing us. They are not following the rules. We are the ones who followed. We are the ones who made those rules, and therefore you are criticizing us. That's how the teachers of the law went to Jesus. Jesus again criticized them. You are making man-made laws. You are putting laws and laws and laws, and you put heavy burden on people. You don't carry it even by your single finger, but you put all these heavy burdens on people. Strict rules, they don't follow, but they want the people to follow. You know, sometimes we are like that. We parents come with strict rules for our children, but we may not come up with rules for others, but we don't follow it. Jesus says, you are not following God's commandment. Now, in our time, people come up with many such rules, many such formulas. Some of these rules are borrowed from the corporate world. People come up with saying that, in the corporate world, you might have heard this: 5 steps to be a successful entrepreneur. Probably that you might have heard or 7 steps to become a successful employee. You might have heard that. And they may come up with some rules. Why can't it be 8? Why can't it be 10? Why can't it be 5? I don't know. People come up with those formulas, those methods, and they say that, you know, this is the way you will be a successful person. This is the way you will be a victorious person. Such kind of a teaching is also borrowed to our Christian faith. People say that if you pray this way, in a the same prayer you say every day 5 times, you will be having this kind of a successfulness in your life. Or if you give money to my ministry or my work, then you will be multiplied with your resources. Or they may say that, you know, if you claim God's word in a particular way, if you claim God's promises in a particular method, you will be multiplied with your resources. Don't we hear such statements among us? Don't we hear such preachers coming and preaching? The methods, the formulas, they come and impose on us, do this and you will be successful, you will be victorious. The second lesson that was read to us, very interesting. Do not try to be rich. You know, this is not God's intention to make us rich. No, not at all. God's intention is not to make me rich. God's intention in me, in you, is to make you in the likeness of His Son. His Son came and died for us on the cross. He suffered and He died on the cross, rose again the third day. The followers of Jesus suffer. Suffering is part and parcel of our Christian journey. God's intention is not to make us rich and give us 5 flats, 10 flats. No. If God's intention is to make me rich, I should have a house in Beverly Hills. That's not God's intention. That's not what Bible teaches us. God wants us to be like His Son. See, Bible clearly teaches us that give us today our daily bread. God faithfully provides for our needs, often gives more than what we require. That's my experience, and that's the experience of all of you. He always gives more than what we require. So what is that we teach people? What should we be teaching people? We should teach people to know God. We should teach people to build relationship with God. I want to remind you the words from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. For I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. God wants us to know Him, to love Him, and to build a relationship with Him. I want the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Let us not come with a lot of formulas and rules and regulations, but come and worship God, know Him, love Him, follow Him. Now, as I come to the end, the main characteristics of Jesus' ministry throughout His time on earth is compassion. Wherever He saw a need, He was moved with compassion. Anyone who was going through a health crisis, He would have compassion and healed them. That's one part of Jesus' ministry. He was always moved with compassion. But second to compassion, however, is anger at hypocrisy and self-righteousness. If somebody comes up with self-righteousness. If somebody fake himself, God gets angry with such people. Jesus goes after the religious leaders repeatedly for this. He repeatedly rebuked religious leaders who appeared devoted to God outwardly, but were really serving themselves. Woes unto you. Very strong word. It's not just ancient warnings. They are a mirror for us today. If Jesus has said woe to Pharisees and scribes, he can say that to us also, if we have this outward religion. Shall we look at our heart? What are we growing in our hearts? Shall we look at what we hold back for ourselves? Shall we look at how we humble ourselves before God and before men? How do we teach people about God? Is our intention to make people know God more, or is our intention make to people prosperous and successful? In Christian faith, the word successful, victorious, we use it. But in Christian faith, we have to remember faithfulness and sincerity matter a lot, because we are called to be the disciples of Jesus. May God help us so that we guard ourselves from hypocrisy and follow him with genuine hearts. God bless us all. Amen.